Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Good to be in church. Oh, we're so blessed. Our praise team does such a great job, don't they? Just bringing us into the Holy of Holies. You know, worship, it gets your heart ready for the Word. It softens you up a little bit. Amen? Softens you up a whole bunch, right? And that's the purpose of it. It gets your heart ready. Because, you know, we all know that, like, dirt, when dirt is really, really hard and you put a seed on it, it's just going to sit on top of it, right? But when dirt is soft and you can put that seed and push it down just a little bit, what's going to happen? That seed's going to grow. It's going to produce in your life. And that's what worship does. That's why worship is so important. It brings us into an attitude of recognizing and knowing who God is. It makes us say, you know what, nothing else is as important as God. It lets us put Him first. Amen. All of our attention, all of our focus. And when we're doing that, when we're singing these songs and we're singing the Word, every song we sing is rooted in the Word of God. If it wasn't rooted in the Word of God, it would just be a normal song. We don't sing normal songs here. We sing praise and worship songs here. And that's all we'll ever sing. And so what it does, it gets your heart. It's like pouring water on dirt. It softens it up. So then when the Word comes, your heart is ready. And it receives the Word. And then the Word is able to penetrate deep within your heart, like Proverbs tells us, and give health to our body. Amen? And so how many ready for the Word this morning? I know I was only gone for one Sunday, but it feels like forever. It feels like I haven't seen you guys in forever. It's weird not coming to church. It's weird. And so that's why you're supposed to come to church. Amen? So you're not weird. But anyway, well, I'm going to continue. I heard that Pastor Devon did a great job last week and taught everybody about the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. He did a great job. And then Wednesday night, I was here Wednesday night, and Pastor Steve did a great job teaching about the flow of the Holy Ghost. Very good. And I encourage you, if you ever have questions about, you know, services and maybe something happens and you're like, what was that? Anybody ever been in a service like that? What was that? Well, you know what? Those started in the New Testament, amen, where everybody was saying, what is this? And so maybe you have questions like that. I encourage you to talk to Pastor Steve. He's got great answers. He can show you in the Word where services like that are of God and good for you, right? And so we're going to continue our series in belief. Because what you believe really is what moves your life. Your beliefs dictate your actions. You act on what you believe. And so this whole series that we've done is to strengthen the beliefs you have in the Word. To remind you of maybe things that have gotten forgotten or weak in your life. You've ever forgotten something and it's just, and then that memory comes back. And you're like, oh man, that was so, I don't know about you guys, but on Facebook, and then they have another app called Time Hop. Time Hop, I love Time Hop. I think Time Hop is awesome. And I got it because these guys all keep me pretty tech savvy, you know. And what it does, it goes back like up to as long as your phone goes back. And it shows you pictures that maybe you took a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, four, whatever is on your phone. And so I look at that and I see so many great memories. I see the kids when they're really little, and it just reminds me, and it takes me right back to that moment where we were together, and you know, and maybe they said their first word or whatever, and it just reminds me, so that memory comes flooding back, and it's just so powerful, amen, it's so powerful, and so when you strengthen your beliefs, you know what's going to happen? That memory of the Word of God, that truth of the Word of God is going to come flooding back, and it's going to make you stronger, amen? And so that's the purpose of this series, is to strengthen and to remind you what you believe. Amen? And so today's title of the message, you can follow along in your Bible app. I encourage you to. I give all my notes away. They're all right there, so you can follow along on that. And it's overcoming the storms of life. You got to believe that you can overcome what you're in. And I know there's people in this room, maybe you just came through a storm, and you're like, whew, we made it. Oh, thank God we made it. And maybe you're in here today and you're in the storm. Your boat of life is just all over the place. It is rocking and rolling. And you are like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You ever look yourself in the mirror sometimes when a lot is going on and the thoughts in your body are saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Let me tell you something. You will make it. Amen. Amen? You will make it because God is with you. But if you don't believe that, that thought of, I don't know if I'm going to make it, it's going to take off like a train. And next thing you know, that's all you're thinking. That's all you're believing. And guess what? If that happens, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And so we've got to strengthen our beliefs that in the storms of life, and how many know there are storms in life? There is no scripture that says God promised you a rose garden. It's not in the Bible. There's no scripture that says we're going to tiptoe through the tulips. You know, I've looked. It is not there. But you know, there are some scriptures that says, even Jesus said, listen, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. Or tribulations. Look at your neighbor and say, I knew you were trouble. No, I'm kidding. You're going to have some trouble. And so we've got to remind ourselves of how to act in a storm. Because storms come. Storms sometimes last longer than you think they should. But you've got to remind yourself how you're supposed to act. You ever been with somebody in a crisis? And they're just running around like a chicken with their head cut off? I mean, they don't know what to do. One of the greatest things, one of the biggest compliments I ever received in my whole life was one time Pastor Mark was preaching, and he said these words. I'll never forget them because they blessed me so much. He said, if you're in a crisis, you want Peggy with you. Because no matter what's happening, she's just calm. And that's the truth. That's the truth. But it's God. It's the peace of God. Because I've already done it the other way. I've already done it running around going, I don't know what to do. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Blah! I've already been there. Been there. That does no good. No good at all. So we need to remind ourselves how to act when storms come. Because storms come. And you know what? If you're not in one right now, one's coming. You say, oh, don't confess that over me, Pastor. I'm not confessing anything over you. I'm telling you the word. The word says, in this world, you will have tribulation. And you need to be ready for it. And you need to know how to behave in it. Amen? You need to know how to behave. And so let's look over here at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 35. This is a story most of us in here probably have heard before. If not, here we go. You ready? Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. I encourage everybody, bring your real Bible. Say real Bible. Real Bible. You need a real Bible. I'm all for phones and iPads and all that kind of stuff, but don't let it 100% take the place of your real Bible. Amen. Don't let that happen. And so here we go. Mark 4, 35, it says, on the same day when evening had come, he, this is Jesus, said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Verse number 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Verse number 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? You do not want Jesus to say that to you. How is it that you have no faith? Verse number 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And how many know they found out? But I want to tell you four things about the storm. Number one, you got to remember that when you're in the storm, you are still in his presence. Amen. Amen? You are still in his presence. The thing I love about this is they're in this storm. How many have ever been in a storm or in a storm or you know a storm is coming? Everybody needs to raise your hand. That's all of us. And the thing is that you need to remember, you need to believe that Jesus is with you. He's with you. Was he in the boat? Yeah. These were seasoned fishermen. They knew about storms. They knew about the weather. They knew about, this wasn't some of these guys, not all of them, but some of them were seasoned fishermen. They knew how to be in a storm in a boat. It wasn't their first one. So that tells me that this was a pretty big storm. And Jesus is in the boat and he's sleeping. You got to remember that when you're in the storm, his presence is there. Got a few scriptures for you. John 16:33. You can just listen to these. It says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Whatever you're facing, God's got an answer for it. He's already taken care of it. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Hebrews 13:5 says, God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You know, the thing is that God never promised that a storm wouldn't rock you, but he did say it won't sink you. It can't sink you. So when we're in a storm, we've got to remember that Jesus is there with us. He's there. And no matter how things look, you're going to get through because Jesus is there. And one of the things I love about this, and I say this verse a lot, is when Jesus said in verse number 35, he said, let us cross over to the other side. Let us cross over to the other side. And I remember a story that Brother Hagin used to tell all the time because he flew a lot. He was on planes often. And they had their own plane. And he said every time he would get on the plane, before he got onto it, he would lay hands on it and he would say, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. And I remember Philip Slaughter telling a story that one time they were on their plane. And all the Ramah singers and band are there, and they're all faith giants, right? I mean, these guys travel with Brother Hagin. And if you don't know who Brother Hagin is, he founded the Bible college that most of the staff went to. He is mostly called the father of faith. He has been used by God in such an amazing way in his time here on this earth. And so he's on this plane, and all of a sudden something happens. And it's so bad, the plane's rocking, the plane's going all over. It's so bad that the co-pilot came back to get the owner's manual. Now, how many know if you're on a plane and the co-pilot is looking for the owner's manual, that does not bring comfort to me. Right? It does not bring comfort to me. And Philip told the story here, and he said everybody was starting to sweat a little bit, but nobody really wanted to like panic because Brother Hagin looked so calm. He was just sitting there like nothing was going on. And so everybody's, they're flipping through the manual, they're trying to find something, and the plane's just going crazy. And I mean, I'd probably sit next to Brother Hagin and say, please help me, right? And so the thing was is that Brother Hagin said, we're going to the other side. He took what Jesus said. He said, we're going to the other side. Jesus was going there, and here's the reason. If you keep reading, there was a purpose for them to go to the other side, because on the other side, how many know who's on the other side? On the other side is a man who is possessed by so many demons. How many remember that story? They were going over there because that man needed help. There was a purpose to going to the other side. And let me tell you something. There is a purpose to what God has called you to do. There is a purpose for your life. There is a purpose for your marriage. There is a purpose for your children's future. There is a purpose for your finances. There is a purpose for the job that you work at. There is a purpose. And the enemy doesn't just say, oh, you serve Jesus? Sabine, you serve Jesus? Oh, you go, girl. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. I'm gonna back off. I'm not going to attack you anymore. I'm not going to cause you trouble. I'm not going to do any of that because you serve Jesus. How many know that does not happen? It does not happen. And so the enemy is after the purpose in your life. He's after the purpose. He's after the testimony of your marriage. He's after the testimony of your life. And so there is a purpose for you to get to the other side. And so the enemy, he's gonna stir up storms just like he did with Jesus. But we got to remember that Jesus is with us. He didn't leave you in the storm. He didn't forsake you in the storm. He did not cause the storm. He is with you in the storm. Amen. He's with you in the storm. Let's go to the next one. Next thing we got to look at, turn over to James chapter 1. I'm going to read it to you out of the Message Bible, but I want you to turn there. James chapter 1, I want you to remind you that God will use the storm for his purpose. Now, Some of you are like, what? God didn't cause the storm. Look at your neighbor and say, he didn't cause it. The Bible says that God will not tempt you. Only good and perfect things come from a God. From God, he is not the author of the storm, but he will use that storm for his purpose. Because how many have been through a storm and you have seen the hand of God and you have seen God move? And when you're on the other side of that, man, you want to tell everybody about how good and how great God is. God didn't cause the storm, but he'll use the storm because storms will strengthen you. Storms will get you, a lot of times storms will get you to draw closer to God. And you don't need those things to get that benefit from God, but you know what? God will turn what the enemy meant for bad, he will turn it for good. He'll turn it for good. And sometimes we're like, ooh, how are you going to turn this one? But he does. God will use that storm. Let's look at a scripture. In James 1, 2 and 4, it says, count it a sheer gift, friend, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced to open and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. One thing I remember Lois saying, Lois from Shekinah Glory saying, they're so good. She said, one thing we've got to remember is our faith is made for battle. That's what your faith is for. Your faith is for that storm. Your faith is for that mountain that's in your life. That's what your faith is for. And so when those storms come, don't immediately look at it and say, man, what did I do? What did I do wrong? Because here's the thing. Storms come even when you're doing right. They come even when you're doing right. We can look at Paul and Silas. We all know their story. Paul and Silas were thrown into jail. Why? For preaching the gospel. For healing the sick. That's why they were thrown into jail. Some of us, if we got thrown into jail, we'd be like, man, somebody's missing God. Who missed God? Who did it? Who caused trouble here? Paul and Silas were thrown into jail because they were doing good. But while they were there, the Bible says that they sang songs of praise. Yeah. They began to sing songs. They reminded themselves, they believed that God was with them in the storm. He didn't cause the storm, but he's with you in it. And God's going to use it, because when we see in the story of Paul and Silas, we see that as they began to praise and worship God, that the whole jail shook, right? The whole jail shook, and while they were there, they were ministering to other people, and the jail shook, their chains broke off, and they were set free. But the jailer was there. And he started to kill himself because he knew if they got out, he was going to be killed anyway. And so they stopped him and they said, no, don't harm yourself. And they began to witness to him and tell him about the power of God, which he saw. And you know, the Bible says that he got saved and his household got saved. So look, God didn't cause that, but he sure used it. But Paul and Silas could show us a thing or two. When the bank account is running low, when the marriage is on the rocks, when the kids are going crazy, when the job is iffy, if you got one, right? Don't start crying. Don't start running around saying, I don't know what we're going to do. Remind yourself that God is with you in this storm. Remind yourself to act right. Act right. Amen. And praise and sing praises to God. Remind yourself of who God is. You know, the time to worship and the time to praise is when all hell is breaking loose. That's the time. That's the time you need it most. But here's the thing, the time you need it most is a time when you feel like doing it least. Isn't that the truth? The time you feel like doing it least. I remember, you know, and so you may look at me and say, oh, you know, you're a pastor, you don't know what storms are. Oh, let me tell you, I know a thing or two about storms. But I remember being in my, you know, we have a one-bedroom, two-office doghouse. That's what we have. If you were going to sell our house, that's how I would describe it. We have a one-bedroom, two-office doghouse, right? That's what we have. And so I was in my office at home. You know, I have a reading room at home, and Scott has a studio where he does all his music. And I remember sitting in my room at home and sitting in my chair and just, you know, for lack of a better term, it just seemed like all hell was breaking loose. It seemed like every devil in hell was just pushing on everything in the church, in my personal life, in my family. I mean, it was just, you know, you ever been in those one thing after another? It was just one thing after another. And I remember just sitting in my chair, and I wasn't doing anything. I was just sitting there. You ever do that? I mean, just sitting. I was doing nothing. I wasn't praying. I wasn't talking. I wasn't watching TV. I wasn't listening to music. I was just sitting there, kind of in shock, just sitting there. And I'll never forget this. The Holy Ghost rose up so big on the inside of me. He said, "This isn't doing any good. This isn't doing any good. You got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. You need to learn how to behave in a storm. It's not the time to be quiet. It's not the time to sulk. It's not the time to feel sorry for yourself. It's not the time to say, why me? Why not somebody else? It's the time to praise and worship God. It's the time to remind yourself that God is with you in that boat. It's the time to remind you that he said, peace be still, and that storm listened. And now I can say, you learned it last week, by the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I can say, peace be still, and it's got to listen. Amen? It's not the time to be quiet. It's not the time to, you know, tears are fine. Tears are okay. It's okay to cry, but you can't cry all the time. Tears are okay. Tears are a way for your body to release stress. And sometimes we try to hold it in so much, and that's not good for you. It's not good for you. If you're always on the verge of tears, just go in the bathroom, shut the door, and let them out. And then get up and say, all right, let's do this. Right? No, that's your body saying, you got too much going on, you need to let something out. Your body's designed that way. Tears are fine, but we're not ruled by tears. We're not led by tears. Sometimes people can be in faith and say, oh, I can't cry because I'm in faith. No, go ahead and cry. Go ahead and cry, but then get up. And if you need to cry again later, go ahead and cry, and then get up. Amen? We need to learn how to act in a storm because storms come. So let's keep going here. Over in Acts chapter 16, let's look there. Well, I just told you that whole story, so we don't need to. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. You got the Peggy version. Matthew chapter 5. What I want us to know here is when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, how many think Jesus knew the storm was coming? I think he did. And it was his idea to go. It was Jesus' idea to go. He said, let's go to the other side. We got work to do over there. And so when we're in the storm, remember, he's with us. Remember, God's going to use that storm. And sometimes when we're in a storm, we become very selfish. We become all about us because I'm going through things. I'm going through things, and so we become very self-minded. But the thing is, when you're in the storm, let's follow the advice of Paul and Silas. Because one thing that they did is they continued to minister to other people even though they were at the worst of their day. When you meet other people's needs, God will be sure that yours are met. And so when you're in the storm, don't become so self-involved that you forget everybody around you. There is a purpose. And God's still going to use you even though you're in a storm. God will still use you. And sometimes God will use you the most at that time because, I don't know about you, but when you're going through something, you've got a lot more compassion for other people. You got a lot more empathy for other people because you know the pain. You know how that feels. And so you want to reach out with God's love. You want to reach out with the power of God. And we got to make sure we still do that because we can get so self-involved and it's all about me. Oh, I'm going through some things. I got to be alone. It's okay to be alone, but you can't live your life like that. You're not designed that way. And if you become so self-involved, you'll get your eyes so closely on you that it'll come off the one who's really going to help you. Amen? And that's God. So remember, never lose sight of ministering to people, even when you're in the middle of a personal storm. Think about Jesus. One of the greatest examples is Jesus. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? He's going through an agony that none of us can even understand. He is literally carrying the sins of the world. You may feel like you are, but he was literally paying the price for the sins of the world. And even in that moment, while he's on the cross, dying, suffocating, that's how you die on a crucifixion, you suffocate. And in the pain that he was in, he still ministered to the man to his side. Isn't that powerful? I mean, he could have looked at that guy and said, dude, I'm carrying the sins of the world. I don't have time for you. I was just beaten and mocked for days. I just had 40 stripes on my back. I don't have time for you. But he didn't say that. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Never forget that in the storm, don't become so self-minded that you get your eye off everybody else. Because people need us. And you may need to pull somebody into your boat. Say, oh, my boat's rocking. It's better than not having any boat. Amen. It's better than not having any boat. So number three, we need to remember, and we're in the storm, we need to remember his promise. Turn over to Romans. I know we skipped Matthew, but that's all right. Keep your Bible thumping. Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. When you're in the storm, remember his promise. Oh, doesn't this make you feel a little bit better about that storm? Jesus is with you. Jesus is in the boat with you. Amen. He's there. God's going to use that storm. There's going to be a testimony after that. And you know, before you can have a testimony, you got to have some test. And again, God does not do that. It's so important that you know that. God's not the tester. He's the redeemer. He's the rescuer. He's the savior. But there's things in life that happen, those storms, those troubles, those tribulations, and we got to get through those. That's what your faith is made for. Next time you look at something, you're like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You need to remind yourself of what you believe. You're a faith person. You need to remind yourself, my faith was made for this. My faith was made for this. Amen? Here we go. Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. It says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In what things? All these things. All these things. The Bible says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing, nothing that is too big for God. Whatever you're looking at, look at it through the right perspective. In me, yeah, this is big, too big. But God, with him, he's going to get me through. With him, he's going to calm this storm. With him, I'm going to get to the other side because I have his promise. And you know, listen, we don't have a rumor. We don't have a story that somebody told. We have a written promise on him. Amen? It's not like, well, I think that so-and-so said that he might do it, that he maybe did it for somebody. No. That's not it. You can't stand on that. That's all over the place. We've got his written promise. This word is filled with promises for you. And if you're going through a storm, you got to find his word that's going to get you to the other side. If you're going through a trial of sickness, you need to get in here and find out what God says about healing you. That you're not going to get healed. You are healed. Amen. You know, and so, you know, how many know the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And sometimes when we say things, we're locating where we are in faith. If you're still waiting on God to heal you, you are not in faith. If you're saying, well, you know, when God heals me, no, that's not how it works. That's not how this works. And you're locating yourself. You're showing that you need to sharpen up there. You need to sharpen. And I'm not putting you down. I'm not getting on your case. I'm saying, listen, you need the right tools for the storm you're in. Sometimes people can know every scripture there is about prosperity. Man, they got that down pat. And they got God working in their finances. And that's great and that's awesome. But you know, and you need that. And so when financial storms come, you're like, oh, I'm a giver, I'm a tither, I got this. And you go through it much easier. Because you know God's word, you're standing on his promise. But then when something else happens, when maybe a doctor's diagnosis or something like that, you haven't sharpened up in that area. And so you begin to sink. And so you need to get in here and get his promise about healing. Amen. Whatever, if you say, well, some people know all there is about healing, but you don't know anything about prosperity. We need to be well-balanced. Because the word is for my whole life, not just parts of my life, my whole life. I had dinner the other night with a young girl that goes to church here, and she was talking to me, and she said, she has employees, she's a manager, and she said, yeah, she goes, sometimes they think I'm being preachy to them, but I finally just told them, because they ask her for advice, or they talk to her, and so she preaches the word. And she said, I just told them, listen, there's no other me. This is it. This is how I live my life. This is all I have to give you. If this isn't what you want to hear, then don't come to me. And I was like, dang, preacher girl, that's awesome. I was like, wow. And you know, we need to be like that, where the word of God is not just for my Sunday life, it's not for my Wednesday life, it's not when I'm around my church friend's life, it is my life. It's my whole life. And so you need to find the promise for your whole life. Whatever you need, whatever storm you're in, there is a promise from God that shows you that in all things, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. In all things. Whatever, you know, just right where you're at, whatever is going on, whatever is rocking your boat, whatever is the wind, whatever it is, just say, in all things, even in this, whatever you got going on. Because you know what? If this many people, We'd be shocked at what people got going on. We'd be shocked. You know, the enemy always wants to say, you're the only one going through something. Listen, you are not the only one going through something. You are not the only one going through something. We're all going through things. But that's the key. We're going through it. We're going through it. We're going the other side. You know, every time before I get on an airplane, I don't really like to fly that much. I just find it a very unnatural thing. You know, I mean, I just find it, but I do it in faith. And I stop the whole line behind me, and I lay hands on the thing. I don't care. I don't care what people think. I lay hands on the airplane, right on the door. You know, when you're getting on the door, I put my hand right on it. I say, I am going to the other side in Jesus' name. And people are like, well, you better be glad I'm on this plane. You better be glad I'm here. Because I don't, you know, and then... We were flying to Chicago, a friend of mine and I, and I tell you, it was the worst flight I ever had in my whole life. It was so bad.
How bad was it?
Thank you. It was so bad that people were crying, people were screaming. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And the girl sitting across the aisle, I mean, she's a young girl, and she's just crying her little eyes out. She's so scared. And I reached over and I grabbed her hand. I said, listen, we're going the other side. Because I prayed, and my God is good. And I began to pray for her. And then the rows around me started getting quiet. They were glad I was on that plane then. They were glad. And you know, and I know Chris and Camila, they had a pretty rough flight too. You know what they did? They sat and prayed in the Spirit the whole time. People were glad they were on the plane. The thing is that you got to remind yourself, you got a promise. I have a promise that angels watch over me. When I'm on the plane, I say, Lord, I don't care what needs to happen. If angels need to land this plane, they will do it. Why? Because I'm on it. And I'm going somewhere for a purpose. God has a purpose for you. There will be storms. Remember, he's there with you. He's going to use that storm for his good. People are going to get born again because that storm you're going through. Because you know what? There's people watching you at work and they're saying, man, she ain't going to make it. She's not going to make it. And when you make it, they're going to start coming and say, hey, you know, you think you could pray for me? Isn't that how they do? Right? They're real quiet about it. Like, hey, you know, you think you could pray for me? You know, they don't want to make eye contact because then it's real. But see, they've seen you go through stuff. They've seen you behave in a storm the way you're supposed to. And now they've got storms in their life and they're going to start coming to you. And you need to remind them, listen, God is with us. God's going to use this. Amen. We got his promise. We got his promise. Don't let go of what the word of God says, no matter what the storm says. Amen. Sometimes that's what we do. The storm starts talking and we're like, oh, will this happen? No, what does the word say? And then last thing, we need to remember when we're in the storm, we got his power. Turn over to Mark 11. We got his power. You know, the enemy's always trying to make you feel powerless, isn't he? What are you going to do? How many have ever had the enemy say, what are you going to do? You can't do anything. You need to remind him, I got the power of God in me. I got the word of God that is my foundation. I got faith working in my life. You need to read Hebrews 11, where it says, by faith, Noah, by faith, David, by faith, Sarah. And you need to say, by faith, Peggy, by faith, whatever your name is. Amen? By faith, I'm going to get through this. Because I got the power of God in me. Mark 11, 22 and 23 says, have faith in God. Jesus answered and he said, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. God is looking to take care of some storms, but you got to believe that he can and he will. You got to believe it. You got to strengthen that up. You say, oh, I don't know about that. You need to sharpen up in that area. You need to strengthen yourself in that area. Get some books on faith. You know, it always disappoints me, just to be honest with you, whenever I walk by the Connection Center and there's still books out there. It disappoints me. You know why? Because I know so many people in our church, you need what those books have to say. You need it. It's going to do you more good than any TV show you can watch. It's gonna do you more good than any amount of Facebook will ever do for you. Reading those books, I'll tell you a book that changed my life, and then I made everybody else read it. That's one good thing about being the pastor with the staff. I can say, read this book. And they have to read it. And I made them all read Faith Catch It. And I tell you, I remember one of them, I won't name his name, one of them sent me an email and said, I am so glad you made me read this book. Because it has strengthened me, it has helped me, and it has come right when I needed it. God's got what you need. But there may be some things you need to sharpen up on. Because storms are going to come. And you need to remember that God is there with you. Jesus was on the boat. And he's on your boat too. God's going to use that storm. He's going to use it for his purpose. Amen? We need to remember that we've got God's promise. You're going to make it. When you stand on his word, you'll make it. And we got his power. Oh, I remind myself of the power of God because it makes me feel powerful. That's what it's supposed to do. You know, I don't want to sit in my chair at home and say nothing. Because the Holy Ghost said that's not going to do any good. I'm going to sit in my chair at home and I'm going to declare and I'm going to decree and I'm going to speak to mountains and I'm going to call those things that be not as though they were and I'm going to stand on the promises of God. And I don't know about you, but I am going to the other side. Amen. Amen. I'm going because God's got a purpose for me and God has a purpose for you. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that no matter where we are, maybe we're here today and we're in a storm. That's probably most of us here, Lord, you know that. And so, Lord, I just thank you that you are here with us, that you will never leave us and never forsake us, that you are here in the midst of the storm. You are here with me, and I thank you for that. I thank you that the greater one lives on the inside of us. That no matter what the storm is saying, no matter what the circumstances are, that your word, your promises, your presence, your power are all that I need to be more than a conqueror. I thank you, Lord, that you have empowered us to overcome. Father, I pray for every person here, that Lord, whatever storm they're in, that Holy Spirit, you would help them to sharpen up in the word regarding that storm. If there's someone here facing illness, that Holy Spirit, you would help them find those promises and understand them, learn them, believe them about healing. We thank you for that. Lord, you're so good, and we love you so much. Sometimes it may feel like God's not there with you, but he is there. And when you draw close to him, when you sing those praises in the midst of the storm, oh, you will find just how big, how real, how mighty he truly is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Lord would say, it's just in my heart so big. There's somebody here, and you've said those words. You've said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it. God wants to remind you of his promise that in all things, you are more than a conqueror. You will make it. Believe his word. Speak his word. And you will make it. You will make it. Oh, we thank you, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment, we never want to stop a service unless we know for sure that we've given everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just like that man who was on the cross next to Jesus, he cried out to God and God said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you know, sometimes we think, oh, I've got to change and I've got to clean up and I got to do all this stuff before I can come to God. But this story especially shows us all you need to do is come. This guy didn't have time to make amends, to change his life. His life was ending. And he was a criminal. That's why he was on the cross. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to straighten up to come to Jesus. You just have to come. And so if you're here with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment, maybe you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never opened your heart and said, Lord, I need you. I need forgiveness for my sins. I need the power to live life on this earth. And I want to know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven to spend eternity with God and not hell. All that comes by saying yes to Jesus. So if you're here just out of respect, not looking around, and you say, Peggy, that's me. Today I want to come to Jesus for the first time. I want to give him all of me, all my hang-ups, my mess-up, my screw-ups. I want to give him all that. And I want to receive his love, his forgiveness, and his promise of eternity in heaven. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall. I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm just going to pray with you. If that's you, raise your hand and say, Peggy, that's me. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I've already been there, done that, got the Bible. But I've wandered. God's not big in my life anymore because I've wandered away from him. But today I want to make a fresh commitment to God. I want to come back. I say this all the time. It will never not be true. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. He is always one step back. If you're here today and you say, I need to take one step back into a relationship with God, one step back into a fresh start with God, I need to do that today. If you're here and you say, I need to take that one step, just raise your hand up. Show God you're serious about taking that one step. Oh, I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray for the one who raised their hand. Say, Father God, today I take my one step back into a relationship with you. I receive a fresh start, a new beginning, a do-over in Jesus' name. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am loved. It doesn't matter what I've done because I ask the Lord to forgive me. And he does. He redeems me and gives me a fresh start. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad God's always ready to give you a fresh start? Oh, I'm so glad. I remember asking the Lord, how many of these do I get? You know what he said to me? He said, as many as you need. As many as you need. And he's always given me as many as I need. Amen. Well, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready for that?